Hello and welcome to my show. Could you be more specific? I'm your host, Jonathan Steele, coming to you by the way of the Stay Well podcast. And on this episode of Could You Be More Specific, I'm going to touch on Killer Mike's new show, Trigger Warning. So I'm titling the show officially Trigger Warning. It's a 6-episode series that's on Netflix. I had a chance to watch it over a couple of days, and it's an incredible series. So I'm just going to kind of delve into all the multiple layers of topics of the show, but also just talk about Killer Mike in general and what he's been doing in terms of the social consciousness that he has and the awareness that he has in our community, as well as also just trying to delve deeper into some of the topics that we normally cover throughout our country. But I'm going to start first with one of the things with Killer Mike's new show is on the very first episode. He is attempting to just buy black-only products from black-only businesses and trying to live black for 3 days. That episode was fascinating because just based off the era that he was in, you know, it was a real struggle for him, from trying to buy grocery items to ends up trying to eat at a barbecue place. And when he finds out that the food that they have isn't coming from a black farm, he couldn't eat it. So he literally was going hungry. They're even down to getting a place to stay. He really couldn't find a place that was owned by anybody black. So it's a funny episode too. The thing about the show is, even though he's addressing serious topics, it still has humor to it as well. Even down to him being at the Blue Flame, which is a famous strip club in Atlanta. He politely tells a girl who's non-black that he was only spending money in the black community, so he couldn't buy a dance from her. It's funny. So just based off that first episode alone, it was crazy. Obviously, he was also with the other member of Run the Jewels with them when they're eating the barbecue. And even that, I know, just even touching on that, like, it was kind of bad for him because it's like the food looked good, it smelled good, but he couldn't have it. So even down to getting a bus, it was hard for him to find an all-black business that, you know, had a bus to get transportation. So because he couldn't even use cars that were not made by black people, he was even down to doing that. And so he ends up meeting with an outlet that I actually follow on Instagram. It's called We Buy Black, and they sell black owned products. Even that particular individual was doing all he could to help him out at that point in terms of, you know, getting, whether it's toothpaste or washing detergent, just things like that to kind of help him in terms of helping other black businesses. So he also has had a great insight on what segregation versus desegregation did to our communities, because when we did have segregation, and he made a valid point, is that your doctor was black, that the grocery stores you went to were black, your mechanic was black, all the day-to-day things you need throughout your life, because of segregation, you were having to go to those businesses. And once things got desegregated, you started to lose a lot of those. And so just having that in mind, you know, and I remember back then they used to talk about that, the pros and cons of segregation versus desegregation. And obviously it would be better always if you have a option, but a lot of times you don't. So just that first initial episode was just, it was funny. And then even going down to the part of, as you go further into the series, there's an episode that follows, I believe right after that, where he helps gets the Crips incorporated in terms of trying to change the stigma of how people perceive gangs. Because he says it's really a fraternity, it's a brotherhood. And when they originally started out, that's what it was. And he wanted to get them incorporated like Hell's Angels because they're able to sell shirts. People don't think of them as a gang per se, because, you know, they kind of look at them as a club. And so just that subtle wordplay has people viewing both of those groups differently. And so he literally helps them come up with a cola called Crippicola. And he was able to start selling that with them. And he went through the process of going through taste testings, which was interesting because it was actually a healthier cola. And the blind item, they tested really well. And it was pretty much all white guy, all white people, all white guys except for one individual who happened to be Hispanic. And they liked the cola, but as soon as they found out that it was called Cripple Cola, they detached from it immediately, should I say. And, you know, one guy's like, hey, well, if I get this, what if I come across a blood? Am I going to get attacked? And then, you know, Killer Mike comes in there and ends up schooling them. And ironically, the biggest pushback he got was from the lone individual of color. And it's actually interesting because he ends up appearing in future episodes in the series. And because he turns out to be a singer. Just going through that mindset of changing that was very fascinating for them, because for a lot of those Crips, like, they couldn't believe, one, that they were talking to Killer Mike, but the fact that he was trying to help them get set up from a business standpoint. And then he ended up meeting with, you know, members of the Bloods and gave them a drink called Blood Pop. And at one point in the episode, he ends up having them at a farmer's market, because when the Crips were going out trying to get stores to sell their products, they really couldn't get them to do it. So to see that they were initially getting shunned, and then when they actually saw them at the farmer's market with booths right next to each other, people were initially hesitant, but before long, they ended up having a good response to it, and they liked the drink. And then because of how successful that they were, a lot of those stores that turned them down initially started selling it. And so just something like that kind of helps plays a part into changing the dynamic of how people can view you. I know I kind of touched on this on a previous episode with Killer Mike, but he's just someone that I've always kind of just wanted to follow up on, because I think he's incredibly fascinating with trying to put us in a situation from a mental standpoint to kind of change the narrative of what's going on in our country, which is remarkable. And so the fact that he was able to do that with two known groups now who are now going to be viewed as a business in that state does a lot, you know, because now you're not viewed the same way. As a business now, they have rights. And so even down to the episode of him trying to teach little kids, it's a white privilege episode of trying to teach little kids on what they want to grow up to be and what they should do. And of course, the kids, you know, say stuff like, you know, being president or a scientist or stuff like that. And Killer Mike just kind of like burst that bubble and say, like, hey, you're probably not going to be that, but you can learn how to fend for yourself, and teaching them how to do plumbing and carpentry and doing things with their hands. And so to see him kind of push for that with kids early, because, you know, he has a real problem with the school systems not really teaching kids stuff that they're going to be using for the rest of their lives, or something that they'll need for the rest of their lives, as opposed to, you know, a lot of times, you know, in school we're brought up on a lot of useless information. And so to see him kind of cut through that and want to get that message across was really great too. He actually has another episode that I know is going to be really controversial in terms of people talking about it. And it's the episode where he touches on religion and how, you know, you've had always this discussion in the black community with some of us where, why do we pray to a being that does not look like us in terms of Jesus? And so he ended up having someone write up his own book based off a guy he knew called Sleep, who literally doesn't change facial expressions. And so to see that depicted, and it ended up kind of growing. He ended up, you know, getting an author to help write it. And then he also ended up having some class treatments in terms of doing the techniques of going to sleep and trying to do breathing exercises and write down how they feel, and kind of put them in the same mindset that, you know, he was saying how the disciples were in terms of writing the Bible. So that episode in itself was funny, because, you know, people are pre-programmed to believe in what they've been brought up on all their lives. So the idea that he's going to be able to convince an area that's predominantly not just black, but predominantly Baptist Christian to follow him and a friend of his was going to be a tough sell. But it was very fascinating for him to even explore that, because in the end, it still requires you to do the same thing. It's called a belief. You don't know. You know, and that's where people kind of sometimes miss that thread. So For anyone that has a chance to watch that episode of me was really, really good. Because he ended up getting to the same results that people want, is a greater sense of understanding and knowing who they are and feeling like, do they have value in their lives? And that's what ultimately the purpose of religion is supposed to serve, is are you searching for something greater than yourself? And it's a sense of community that people are really looking for. So that episode was really great. He then has another episode where he was trying to create a new Africa and getting some of the people that he had to live there, developing his own currency, trying to raise land, live off the land and have a democracy, which was a really great episode because it did cause all these different, discussions on how would they want to run their new land. And he ended up rigging it, because when they do a democracy vote, he ended up winning overwhelmingly, but he decided to rig it for another individual who's there because, he's touring. He's not going to have time to run that. But the girl that won, she was really involved. Her name is Sia, I believe. I hope I got her name right. But she was very involved, very engaged in their process and wanted to try it out. One of the other people that was there was one of the members who helped with the Crippa Cola drink. So that was really great. And then there's another episode that I'm pretty sure people are going to really gravitate to, is when he actually ends up forming a group of all these different personalities. That to me was so funny because he was literally putting people together that would normally not like one another or even talk to one another. And so that is something that, just off of that, by making people uncomfortable, that's where you kind of get a chance to see how they respond. And some hung in there and some didn't. But other than that, I just thought that was a really, really great episode because they do a performance before his actual group performance run the jewels. And the audience didn't know what to make of it. It was a predominantly white crowd. And one of the guys was he had the mindset of a pro kind of Confederate individual. I'm gonna stop saying the word white supremacy. I'll just say Confederate ideals. And he ends up ending the song dropping the N-bomb, but just the fact that Killer Mike was willing to do that, you're not gonna win everyone over, but you're gonna cause enough to where you're gonna have people start to rethink what their mindset is on a lot of that stuff. And that's ultimately what you really want. So for anyone that hasn't seen the new Killer Mike Trigger Warning series, please check that out. It's a great 6-episode series. Hopefully they come back for another season. And so those are just some of my thoughts on it. I really wanted to follow back up on Trigger Mike and talk about him again because, man, he's a great figure. He's a great MC. He definitely has a lot to do improvement in the community at large and trying to do that for the country. So those are just some of the thoughts I had on him. I want to thank all you guys for listening. I really want to thank D, because he continually works hard on this body. He's continuing to pump out new content, and we're going to be doing more in the future. Definitely like, share, and follow this pod. Support us and become a patron. I'm looking forward to doing more of these in the future. Again, I'm your host, Jonathan Steele. Thank you for listening. Could you be more specific? Continue to follow the Stay Woke podcast. Looking forward to doing more of these really, real soon, and I hope you guys have a good one.